Welcome to the Motorcycle Vagabond Show. This morning we've got Sue with us. How are you doing, Sue, and where out in the world are you?
I'm doing great, and I am in the big town of Clyde, Ohio. Population, not even 7,000.
Oh, wow. How's the weather up there today?
Very windy. Looking at 50-mile-an-hour gust of wind here in a while.
Wow. Yeah, we're supposed to have some bad winds today, too.
Yeah.
So how long have you been riding?
I think it's about 46 years. I started in 1975. My ex-husband and my brother taught me on a little 175 Yamaha that I couldn't even kickstart the ride. He would start it, and I would ride it and bring it home before I ran out of gas.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I didn't weigh very much at that point. I just couldn't kickstart it.
Did your family ride?
My dad. My dad used to race the Ducatis on a local track. Nothing special. It was just his hobby, him and another friend every weekend. But I never did get to go there. He just told me like 3 years ago maybe that he used to tell my brother, push that bike down the street before you start it, because if Susie hears it, she's going to want to go, and your mom's not going to let me take her. So I never got to go.
Oh, and it sounds like your mom was the reason why you couldn't go.
Well, yeah, I mean, but like he explained it, you know, we're talking in the 60s, and Tommy, my brother's a boy, so he can just run around, and here's my dad. He couldn't just let a little girl run loose, so I understood it. Now I understood it. I wouldn't have at that point. I used to cry every Sunday when I woke up and they were gone.
Oh, I had the same thing growing up. I couldn't go because I was a girl. Now I'm out riding motorcycles all the time.
Right. He just couldn't let me run wild while he was doing his thing was what it was. But I ride with my dad. Me and my son and my dad all ride. We've got three generations.
Nice. What do you ride?
I have an 03 Sportster. And I have a 2016 three-wheeler that I just, when I retired, to travel on.
What kind of three-wheeler you were cutting out?
Oh, it's a Harley-Davidson three-wheeler, the smaller version of the Tri-Glide.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
What does your son ride?
What's that?
What does your son ride?
Oh, he's got, I think he's got a couple Sportsters. He's got a Honda. He used to have a Yamaha. He lives up in Cleveland, so it's like an hour from me, a little farther.
Mm-hmm. So what have you done with you? Go for it.
My dad has an 81 Super Glide that he still rides.
That's awesome.
He's 84 or 85. Yeah, he still rides all the time. Not far, but still rides. Yep.
That gives me hope that I'll still be riding at that age.
I'm hoping I can. I don't care if I'm on a little scooter. I don't care. The wind's all the same.
It sure is. Being on two or being on threes. Get your knees in the breeze.
I like the three-wheeler for traveling because it has cruise control and it's a lot more comfy than my Sportster. And I can pack a whole lot more because I usually do 2 to 3 week trips when I go. So it's nice to have a little more.
Where all have you been to?
I don't remember what year it was. Me and another friend both rode our Sportsters out to Topeka, Kansas for the, I think it was Women in the Wind. We did the, we were trying to set the world record. We didn't set a world record, but we set a new United States record. I think it was 762 women on bikes on a continuous 7.5-mile ride.
How long did it take you to ride 7.5 miles with that many bikes?
Well, we were supposed to do it through the town of Topeka, and for some reason they decided we couldn't do it once everyone was there. So the guy that owned the racing flat track let us come out there. And it took us 2 hours to get everyone on the track. And then when we started to do the, like the figure eight, the first half had to go really slow in order to, for the last half to get by us. But once we did it the second time, then it was good to go. But yeah, that was a crazy. I was number 154. Cool. My world record holder is probably broke by now, but whatever.
Yeah, they keep trying to break it like every year.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the record? Do you know?
I think I want to say at that time it was 1180, and I think someone in Canada had the record, but I'm not sure.
That's really weird. There's not as many riders in Canada as there is down here.
I don't know. I just know I belong to the Motor Maid, and that is the oldest continuing woman's motorcycle riding club in the world. But it is only North America, and that's Canada and the U.S. And our numbers are about half and half for Canada and the U.S.
Oh, wow. Why no Mexico? That's new North America, too.
I don't know why. This is what it always was, and I don't know. I love the oldness of it and what it stands for. It's all about women behaving and promoting safe riding and women riding. That's all it's about.
I mean, who can't get behind that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
This says the current record is 1,132.
And who is it held by?
I think it says the Colorado Women's USA World Record Ride.
What was the year? Do you know?
Yeah, it says like August of last year it was set.
Oh, okay. Because they tried to break it the year after we set it in Topeka, but they didn't get it. So I think I do remember seeing something. So, yeah, well, I was a record holder for a couple of years. But piece of paper that proves it.
Hey, I've never held a record. That makes you more special than me.
That was an awesome trip, and it was the year that they had all the floodings, because going there, you could only get there from this direction if you stayed on 70. All the other interstates were flooded. It was, and we had a rain ride the whole, I can't remember how many days we were gone, six. We only had one sunny day out of them all. We rode rain all the way out, all the way there. It actually rained the day of the ride, but it quit that morning, and then it rained later. But, hey, yeah, it was a trip. It was great to talk about. Good memories.
It's always fun to be part of groundbreaking events.
Yeah, yeah. I bought the freewheeler in 2020 when I retired, and me and another fellow motor maid, she's from Cincinnati area. We were going to do the whole West Coast, but we only got as far as Montana because of all the fires out there.
Yeah, so fire season really can put a dent in traveling out west.
Yeah, and then last summer we did the whole East Coast. So I was going to go back out and do, I'm just trying to hit all the states. I have like 38 or 39 right now, and I never really intended to do them on a bike. I just knew when I retired I wanted to sightsee, and my kids are grown, I'm single, so what better way to go now? And I was going to go and do, there would have been about 4 or 5 states this summer, but with the price of gas, I just said, nah, I'll do it next year. So a friend and me are going to do Route 66 from Chicago to California. Then we're going to do my trip backwards, which would be the coast of California, Glacier, and then Route 2 straight across, and then come home that way. So that'll be another 3 to 4 week trip.
Oh, that'll be a nice loop, though.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Very excited. I'm excited to see the Grand Tetons. That's the biggie. Yeah.
The Grand Tetons are pretty nice, but they're attached to Yellowstone. And while I support all of our national parks, I find Yellowstone to be a million-acre tourist trap. Oh, man. Traffic through there. Like, if you're just trying to pass through it, you just want to pull your hair out trying to get through that park.
Yeah, I mean, I when I ride my bike and travel, I see things that I want to go back to when I can't ride anymore. Or maybe I'll do a winter trip, you know what I mean? But, yeah, because at Yellowstone, I basically just wanted to ride roads on the outside. I wanted to ride, Bear Teeth Pass and Chief Joseph Highway. Then at Glacier, I wanted to ride Going to the Sun, and both of those roads were washed out this summer, so that just added to my cancellation of my trip. So it'll be an epic one this year. Add Route 66 to that, so.
Nice. I was incorrect about who holds the record. The record is actually existing in the UK at the 1,132. So you still may be the biggest in the US.
Oh, so that is the UK. Maybe I was thinking it was Canada, but maybe that's who it was. Okay. Huh. Cool. That would be nice.
But it's even more impressive because they got more riders together on that small island than we can get across this whole country.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
They're pretty dedicated over there. Honestly, like, I've talked to a lot of UK riders, and there are a lot of them over there. And when they're into riding, they're really into riding because of how hard it is to get your license and get insured and get your bikes. Because they have that tier system.
It's hard to get it over there?
Oh, yeah. You have to go through a lot of training, and then you get, like, you can buy a bike up to, like, 300 cc's or something, and then you have to get up to 600. And then each tier is another class and more training. And then, and your insurance gets more and more expensive.
What if you travel over there? That doesn't have an effect on that then, if you take a bike or rent a bike, if we would go there.
I'm not sure if, like, they recognize our endorsements there. I'd have to ask someone that.
I would love to go to another country. I would love to go. Just keep going once I'm gone, like go down to Mexico and go into South America. I would love to do that stuff, but I'm just not there yet.
Well, they don't care down there. You're talking like second, third world. They're going to just try to get money out of you as much as possible. Like they're not going to care about your license. Over in Eastern Bloc, I did Italy and Austria over to Moldova down to Greece through Hungary. So I did all those countries. And they recognize our license.
Oh, okay. I do follow a lot of people that like the long distance riding. I just see the pictures that they post, and that's not what we see on TV of those countries.
Oh, right. Well, I was in Serbia. You know, sorry about those countries. So the Serbians really hate Hollywood because they often use Serbian accents for the bad guys.
Oh, okay.
And it makes them really angry because they, from what I've seen and from what they said, they're really good people. I mean, they're just hardworking people who are trying to get by and who are as much a victim of their government as we are and everyone else in the world. And they really hate being portrayed like they're bad people. They were very kind. I had an amazing time in Serbia.
God, that just sounds awesome to be able to go somewhere. Now, did you take your bike or did you rent one there?
I was actually over there because someone offered me a bike. They had an extra one, and they gave it to me while I was there.
Perfect. Jeez, how could you turn that down? Wow.
Oh, I did. That's exactly why everyone knew I was heading towards Central and South America back in 2018. And then all of a sudden, you know, I get into my wreck. I get my MCL replaced in my left knee. And then I was in Romania in August of 2019. And I was like, I got lost.
Jeez, how wonderful. Man, the memories. I mean, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Serbia is not I wouldn't say it's a very beautiful country. It's kind of like our Nebraska. It's very much farmland. But the people were just really good. And I like their food, too.
Right. Wow.
They made me this beef, like babakush or something like that. It was beef and peppers. Oh, so good.
Ooh. Ooh. Nice. Wow. How long is the longest trip that you've done?
I mean, what would you consider a trip?
That's right, because you really live on your bike. It's different for you. I forget about that.
That's one of the hard things for me when people ask me that question is, what do you consider a trip? Is this like me continuously riding every day or, you know, not taking more than 2 weeks off at a time or...
I would just think, you know, like a plan, you were going to go here and do this and that.
And are you talking about distance or time?
Time, I think.
I'm not sure. I haven't sat down and done the math, but I haven't passed this. I think I traveled 9 months, 7 or 9 months. Let's see.
Yeah.
Maybe it was 7 months straight in 2017. And even back then, I hadn't learned to slow down yet. I was a new vagabond, and I was, you know, go, 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 and not really stopping to enjoy and smell the flowers. So I moved just about every day during those 7 months, and it was very tiring. And I don't think I've done it since. Now I keep it. I do a lot more stopping for a week here and 3 days here and, you know, 4 weeks here. And then, you know, I may move a couple days in a row because the weather's coming, and then ride an area for a while. A lot slower.
I stop here. I have not stayed with anyone yet on my travels, but I've hosted 5 people. And I had a guy stop, Aaron Alt, I think was his name. He's from Arkansas. And he travels around working at the rallies. And he had left Laconia and was just playing around, working his way to Sturgis when he stayed here. Then he was going to Michigan from here and then heading to Sturgis. But he said he does that. And then he said after Sturgis, him and he named a couple people I knew off of the page, they like camp out in the woods. And then he said he was going to Mexico for the winter.
Oh, nice. How was he as a guest?
It was great. I mean, mine is for outside because I changed it when COVID hit. But most of the people that have came here, they've just slept inside. But I had it listed for outside. But very nice. But he was one of them. My first and my last didn't. The first guy that came, he was from my state, and he was going to the town next to me. He was taking classes to teach motorcycle classes. So he stayed here that weekend. And then Aaron was just last year, and I offered him inside, but they were like, nope, I'm good. So I was like, okay. I had a guy from Virginia that was on his way to Sturgis, and I had another couple. I think they were from Southern Ohio, and I think they were up here reminiscing where he had grown up. And then I had another guy that was just traveling around. So, yeah, I'm excited to maybe use it myself next year.
Oh, I hope you get the chance. It's beneficial on both ends of it, you know, getting to provide and getting to receive.
Sure. Sure.
So, funny enough, when I was advertising to get people on the podcast, you had offered and you said something about how you're just a normal rider and, you know, you can't compare because I live on my bike.
Well, I just thought my life's not as interesting as yours. Not, you know, not that I'm nothing, but yeah, I mean, I take off daily as long as it's, well, I'd say 50 and above. I've rode in 40s, but I would rather not. But other than that, I just ride daily, but I just thought, I don't know how interesting my life would be compared to what you do, because you're always on the road. So,
I'm not always on the road. I am currently actually off the road. I take time off here and there. I'm based out of Tennessee these days, and I usually pop a month every 3 or 4 months and just do maintenance and drop all my stuff and deal with my mail. But I wanted to say, and this gives me the opportunity to say it on the podcast, because it's kind of relative to what you said on the comment, is that I have a lot of people who don't want to tell me stories and don't want to share writing with me because they think that since I've done so much, I'm not going to find it interesting, or that, you know, it's just not as good or whatever as what I've done. And I always want to say that even though I travel full time and I do this all of the time, I still love hearing other people's stories because I get to live vicariously through someone who's like starting out or hasn't done it as much.
Sure.
It gets a little old hat after a while. Like, I still love my life. I'm going to keep doing it. I have to kind of get a little extreme to find adventure some days.
Mm-hmm.
But getting to hear someone who's done their first few trips, their first cross-country trip, they've gone somewhere new, getting to see their enthusiasm for me is very rewarding and beneficial. Like, I get to remember, I once felt that way too many years ago, like four or five years ago. And so, like, I don't want people to think that. And most of us full-time travelers don't feel that way. Like, we're not here to brag about ourselves. And most of the time, I don't even want to talk about it. I'd rather hear your stories and, you know, be able to relate to you. I specifically told you, you're actually more relatable than I am. Most people look at me and I'm just, I'm an alien. You know, I'm a unicorn. No one can, like, they can't even comprehend my life.
Right.
But getting to hear stories from people like you who are still, you know, you've got your house, you raised your kids, but you still get to go out. You make the time to go out every day. You're doing your trips. You know, that's still very inspiring for people who have the same style life.
Right. I didn't think that, I don't know how to say it. I didn't think that you wouldn't be interested. I just didn't think my life was as interesting as yours, put it that way. Yeah.
Well, it's not really a competition. It's not more or less interesting. We could all just be interesting in our own way.
Yeah, I do get that.
And some of the coolest writers I know are people who still work day-to-day jobs. Like, I've got a friend up in North Dakota. He's a trucker, like, Monday through Friday. But that guy will set out on Friday after work, and he'll go ride as far as he possibly can before he has to turn around and make it back on Monday morning. And he gets more miles in a year than I do.
Yeah, I live to get out of work and to come home and to get on my bike. I mean, once my kids were gone and I was single, it was like, I love this life. I love it. I love getting on it and being gone. I like traveling. I mean, I have a lot of friends that I travel with, but I like traveling by myself a lot. Do what I want, when I want, if I want or if I don't want or how I want. And just, you know, you don't have to consider someone else. But I do have the one lady from Cincinnati that we travel really well together. So that's nice. We've went, well, cross country both ways. So, but yeah, it was, I never really expected my daughter to get into biking, which she hasn't. But my son, I didn't know if he would or not. Because when they were younger, I always had my dad's bike ride. This was like the late 80s. And I don't know how old my kids were, but, you know, I'd ride around town when my kids were old enough to go play with their friends. I'd get on my dad's bike and I'd be all over town and my daughter would go, hey, look, here comes my mom. And all these little girls would wave at me. And then all of a sudden, I'd see my son, and he'd freaking hide his head and run around the corner like he was embarrassed of me. And now here he is, got four bikes of his own or three, and yeah, it's just crazy.
It's hilarious what kids can find embarrassing about their parents. I don't think they realize how cool their parents are sometimes.
I remember one time. I was going to Walmart. I don't know what it was for, and it's the town next to me. It's like 8-10 miles away. And I rode my dad's bike, and my son wanted to go. So I told him, get on the back. And we go, and we get over there, and we're going to the store. And he's like, Mom, I need a new tire for my bike. And I'm forgetting that I'm on the bike. And I'm like, grab it. So we grab it, and we walk outside, and we both just come to a dead stop when the bike came into view. And we were like, oh, crap. We got this bicycle tire. Are we going to get it home? And my son, he's like maybe 8, 9. He's like, what are we going to do? He had little tears in his eyes. Put it around your neck. So he stuck it around his neck and held on to me, and we came back down the highway 8 miles home. I'll never forget that story. It was so cute going in and then just coming out with this tire. Where are we going to put it? He's just wanting this tire so bad. That was really cute. And at one time, we had one with a sidecar. We would stick my daughter. So she was probably, I'd say 7 or 8. She would be on the back of my husband. And I would be in the sidecar. And my son was maybe 2 or 3. and he always had this little blanket that he carried, and he would lay it. He would sit with me for a while in the sidecar, and then he would get tired, so he would lay his little blanket down where your feet go, and he would crawl up in there with his, lay his little head on his blanket and just go to sleep. And we would just ride all the back roads around our little town for a while.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. Mm-hmm.
Those are family memories that'll stay with you until you're gone, really.
Yeah, yeah. And then we did do a big photo of my dad and me and my son for the three generations, which we just recreated because my nephew wanted in on it. And he's the only one in our family, the only other one that rides. So we did just do a new one with him. But I really like the three generations. I've sent it into a couple magazines.
That's awesome. I hope they took it.
My dad. Yeah, they did. They did. My dad was really super excited that, oh, my God, look at us. We're in a book. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been part of my life. Geez, I would say probably since the late 60s, at least. I remember him playing around with the Ducatis and stuff. And my dad is in a big family, 16 kids. And a lot, I shouldn't say a lot, a couple of the guys had bikes in that family. So, yeah, it was always something I was around in one place or another.
That's a lot of mouths to feed.
Yeah, they had 16 kids. My grandpa was a truck driver. And he said he didn't have any problems feeding him, really, but I'm sure they probably had gardens with, 16 kids. I think my grandma said they had 11 at home at one time was the most. So I'm sure they were all out there doing the little garden thing. And
man.
16 kids, that's a lot of kids. Yeah.
Yeah, my great-great-grandma had like 6 or 7 sisters and a brother. I think there's like 9 or 10 of them.
Wow.
I don't know any of the extended family, but I have a picture of her and all of her sisters and brother when they were older, and it's a really cool picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do have one article that the newspaper did on my dad's family. Got a picture of them all sitting, and then they did the article and asked them, about how he said he had trouble feeding them. He's a truck driver, and so I'm thinking every time he came home, my grandma must have got pregnant.
I miss you so much, dear.
Excuse me?
I said, I miss you so much, dear. We know what happens after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Lord, that's a good Catholic family there.
So do you think you'll ever build up to going down to, like, Mexico?
I hope so. I really do hope so. Yes. Yes. I would love to go, like, to Scotland, ride that coast. I've got a bucket list, like 11 pages long, different countries, and, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping to. Mexico would be easy because it's connected here, so I wouldn't have to go over, but, yeah.
Yeah, you can take your own bike, which makes it a little, mm-hmm. little cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to Alaska?
Not yet. AJ and I are planning to go to Alaska next summer of 2023. We were planning on going this summer. But his mom was up there, and he was raised there for a good 8 or 9 years of his childhood until he joined the Army. So we were supposed to go up there this summer, and his mom ended up needing to have hip surgery. She had a hip replacement done in June, and he didn't want to risk either breaking down, heading up there, and then not being there when she needed him, or there being complications and then him getting his bike snowed in up there. So he flew up and that kind of canceled that trip. So we're going to go up next year, and his mom is like 72 and she mm-hmm. likes to ride with him. So he'll take up he has a solo wheel trailer. He pulls that mm-hmm. up there and he'll grab her and all of her stuff in the trailer and then take her for a ride. That's one of the things that she told her surgeon when she had the hip surgery is she wants to be able to drive without pain. She wants to be able to sew without pain because she's like a quilter. And she wants mm-hmm. to go to ride on her son's motorcycle.
Wow. I do remember when you posted that he was helping his mom after surgery.
Yeah. It kind of sucks having to cancel Alaska, but it was also a very expensive year this year to have gone up there. That was the peak of the gas prices.
I totally understand. That's why I canceled last year. I thought I can stay home and I'll go this year regardless of the price. I won't put it off another year, but Alaska's a big trip for me. I'm torn though. I always wanted to do an Alaskan cruise. That's the only cruise I've ever wanted to do. But I also wanted to ride my bike and tour it on my bike. But then again, I see where I think sometimes I wouldn't mind just flying in and running an RV for 3 or 4 weeks and just camping. I can't do the ground anymore. I have to have a hotel or something. I'm back problems, so I can't sleep on the ground anymore.
I mean, that's fair.
But Alaska, I can't wait to get there.
I mean, those would all be great trips. I know if you do your bike up, you can actually take the ferry and put the bike on it, and they'll drop you off at different islands, and you can go explore and then get back on the ferry and keep going. At least that was the way it was pre-COVID. I just know they're a little expensive.
I was going to say, I thought I checked that out. I thought that was rather expensive.
Yeah.
I'm a miser. I'd rather go to a junk store and get 2 t-shirts for $20 than pay $20 for one over here that I really like. Because I can go further on that too. I like that you can pull off and just camp almost anywhere up there if you're in an RV, it sounds like. I'm just torn at which direction I want to go when I go there.
Well, AJ says there's only like 5 roads in Alaska, so I'm pretty sure you could do all of them while you're there.
5 roads, paved roads.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay.
Yes.
I do have another friend that's a motor maid that's from down in the Cincinnati area. I think she used to live up there when I want to say she was in the Navy, but I'm not sure. She was in some kind of armed forces, but she lived there. But she was like, hey, when you get ready to go, I'll hook you up. I'm like, sweet. Any help helps when you're somewhere you don't know anybody.
Oh, absolutely. And you've always got Bad to look onto as well.
Right. Yeah, I'm excited to use that. I've just had the trips that I've planned have been planned with people, so it's hotels. And, yeah, so I'm excited to start using that. Probably not much this year, but maybe starting next year.
Well, I mean, it is November, so next year is going to be here real soon.
Right. Well, I mean, probably not this coming summer. It'll probably be the following one. Because I have so many. I have the Route 66 and the West Coast trip. And then in April, I have a trip with another girl planned to Memphis, Tennessee. Then, okay, that's in April. In May, we have a rally that same girl and I are going to in Illinois, in Woodstock, Illinois, for International Female Ride Day. That always ends up on that weekend, I think. And then that's April, May, then end of June, or sometime in June, we'll start our 66 ride. Then I think I'm done with planned rides until September, and the lady I travel from Cincinnati with, we're going back out to Arkansas to a Motor Maid event. So, yeah, I've got quite a few of them planned next year, and then all my little stuff in between. But, yeah, those are my big trips for next year. So.
Well, I hope you post some pictures on MMV and have a great time while you're out there.
Oh, I will. I always have a great time.
You know, I've learned that having a great time is all about the way you look at it, not about what you're actually doing.
Exactly. It's your mindset. Yes. I'm always glad. I mean, a lot of people don't like three-wheelers, but I love this thing for traveling. I just love it. It's so much more comfortable. And when I retired, basically, I had money from work that basically paid for the bike for me. So, yeah, it was a no-brainer. I got an excellent deal on the bike. It only had 1,500 miles on it when I bought it because I couldn't afford a new one. And it was basically new for the price that I wanted to spend. So, yeah. My sports gear, I think I've put like 80 some thousand on that. I've rode that to Nebraska and back. That's as far as I've been. I've been to New York, Buffalo on it a few times. I got a friend that I go visit there, and my son used to live in Chicago, so had a lot of highway miles on that, but I think it's got about 83,000 on it now, and I think that had about 7 maybe when I bought it.
Wow, but that's a lot of miles.
Yeah, most people are shocked when I take it in to get something done. They're like, 80-some thousand on the Sportster? I'm like, I went from bigger bikes to smaller bikes. I was just, like when I was married, we had like a 76 FLA. You know, them are bigger bikes. There's a dresser. And they weren't set up for me, but I rode them because it was all that was available to me. Thank God I never wrecked them. But, I mean, I could touch flat-footed on one side and tippy-toe on the other. So I just stayed out in the country, you know, or out of town where I didn't have to deal with traffic much. But, yeah, I just always liked riding. I don't know what it is about it. Just calming for me, and just, it's like what, it's my zen or something. I don't know.
Oh, I'm the same way. I don't do well if I don't get to ride regularly. That's where I process my life and my, what I've been through and my experiences. And yeah, life just isn't life without riding. I've always said that either it's in your blood or it's not. There's not a lot of in between there.
Yeah, I do believe that. I do believe that. I think there's a few in between there that are like, oh, you know, okay, this is just something to do. But for me, it's like, okay. And it amazes me how in the fall when it's 50, nobody's out. But in the spring when it's 50, buddies, everybody's out. It's totally different. Like, get that winter over and okay, here we go. Yeah, I live for to go riding. I just go. And it's so nice that now your phones, you can use them for GPS. Because I was one of those people that I didn't like to go far because I'm not good with directions. I don't know how I traveled with my kids with a map because I'm so hooked on a GPS now. But now I'll just go wherever and just follow my heart. And then if I'm lost, I'll just hook my phone up and push home and get me in my general direction, then I'm good.
They're not all bad. Everyone likes to talk shit on phones, but they're good for what they're good for.
Exactly. They're good for what they're good for. I love them for that, because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have seen half the stuff that I've seen on a bike since I was just afraid. But now that I know I can get home or get me to an area I know, and now I don't use it as much because I've been out and about enough that I know more areas, but I'm not good with like east and west. I'll be like, I know this road will take me home, but 9 times out of 10, I'm going to turn and go the wrong damn direction. And then I'll be crap, I needed to go east on it, not west. But hey, it was all about the ride.
Hey, it's an adventure, even if you take a wrong turn.
Exactly. I have friends that will apologize. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed the turn. I'm like, hey, I'm just along for the ride. You missed the turn. Susie B's right behind you. I'm not leaving you. Yeah.
Well, it was really great chatting with you, Sue. Thank you for sharing some stories.
Oh, thank you for asking.
Definitely. I hope you get out and have all the adventures next summer.
I hope so. I'm so excited to looking towards that. So, yes. I hope you have it.
Go ahead.
I said, I hope you have millions safe miles out there.
Thank you. I'm sure the summer plans help you get through the winter, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't sit home much even in the winter. I got to go out walking. I got to get out. I can't just sit in the house. Yeah.
Hey, that'll keep you healthy and moving much longer.
Exactly. Exactly. I know a lot of people that retire and come home and sit and they die 6 months or a year later. No, I want to see the world first. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you have a great day, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for asking me. I enjoyed it, really.
Good. When it comes out, I'll make sure you get a link to it.
Awesome. Thank you.